Hello and welcome to the Doula Tribe podcast. I'm Tess and I'm from the Nurture Doula Tribe. I'm a postpartum doula, a mother, and I'm Irish. We will be focusing on mothers, families, birth, parenting, and the postpartum period. I'll be diving into lots of topics around raising children. I want to speak to inspiring people and I want you to learn something. So make sure you tune in. Find me on Instagram and subscribe to this podcast. See you soon. Hi, Rachel. How are you? Welcome to my podcast. I'm so excited to get to know you. So me and Rachel connected online. And you have a local business in Shepparton as well.
Yep.
So I'm very excited to talk to you today.
Thank you.
So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name's Rachel and I've got two small children. I've got a four-year-old and a two-year-old. I also have a small business here in Shepparton focusing on new mothers and expectant mothers where I do gifts and deliver gifts for mums-to-be and new mums and their babies.
Awesome. Your kids are like the same age as mine. Pretty much. It's fun age, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely a lot to do.
Yeah, very busy, yeah.
All right, awesome. That's so good. And what's your business's name? What's the name of it?
My business is called Baby and Mama Gifts.
Oh, yeah, perfect. That doesn't leave much to the imagination.
Yeah.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about your like family values and things about your family that's special to you.
Yeah, I think family is really important. I love spending time with my kids. I also think extended family is really important as well. And I think surrounding ourselves with people that we love, and that can be our own actual family, but I think having other people around you that are special and love your kids, even if they're not blood relatives, is also really important to me as well.
Yeah. And do you have family in Shepparton like that's around you?
Yeah. So we are really lucky, my husband and I, that that our families are all really close by, and we've both grown up in this area and we've got lots of our friends and family around here. So we're really lucky and happy to have everyone close to us.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously I'm not from here, so I have, one side of family with my husband, but not, all my family are in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So it is tough. I kind of had to like adopt my friends as my family. But it's good because you get to choose your friends, so you can't choose your family.
Yeah.
So it has its pros and cons, doesn't it?
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And so is your husband around a lot, or is he away for work, or?
He's usually around a lot, so he works locally as well. And he's around, he works 7:30 a.m. till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so he's got quite good hours. Means that he's home, like he can pick the kids up from daycare on the daycare days.
Lovely.
Home for dinner every night, that kind of thing. So it's nice.
That's great. And so can you describe to me like what you're passionate about right now in your work or in your life?
Yeah. So there's a few things that I'm really passionate about at the moment, but I think the main one with my work, I am really passionate about providing great things for new mothers.
Yeah.
I guess where I started and where the direction that I've kind of gone with my business is that I know that lots of people want to buy really beautiful gifts and they buy lovely things for the babies. And so you get lots of the cute little comforters and toys and, you know, cute little outfits and things like that. But I guess what I want to be about is providing things for mothers as well. So things that are going to be useful for them for breastfeeding, for postpartum, and things to help them with relaxation and self-care and that kind of thing. I guess that's what I'm really passionate about, is just making sure that new mothers aren't forgotten. Yeah, and just making sure that they are thought of. And I think just the fact of bringing something, even if it's like a home-cooked meal, bringing something nice to a new mother, and new parents, like dads as well, I think that's really special and important.
Yes, awesome. So do you do food as well?
I don't do food, but, you know, it's something that I would love to do. I've connected with another business in Melbourne in the past who does do food delivery. I would love if there was someone here that like locally in Shepparton that did that. So
yeah,
it's something that I'd love to connect with in the future.
Yeah, awesome. That's so exciting. Yeah, look, I mean, that is what I'm passionate about as well. And being a doula, this is what I'm trying to achieve. I just saw a huge gap in how women are treated after they have babies. It's so isolating. Mm-hmm. And it can be, if you don't have family around, it can be really interesting, like trying to do everything on your own. Mm-hmm. And then you get like, you get a bit of a martyr. I could do this. I could do everything. And you don't ask for help.
Yeah.
And then after the second child, you're like, just drop off food. Like, give me all the help.
Yeah.
And everything changes after the second child, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I think I need to do this better.
Yeah.
I know. It's so funny. You learn your lessons the hard way sometimes.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So because this is a podcast all about birth and postpartum, mm-hmm. can you tell me a little bit about your births? I know that you've had one vaginal and one cesarean. So which was which? Which one was
Yeah, that? So first I had with my daughter, so she's 4 now.
Yeah.
So I had a really nice experience with, I mean, as nice as birth can be. I had a great experience with her, complication free, everything went really well. I had a really lovely midwife with me who by coincidence was my sister-in-law's mother.
Oh wow.
So I'd actually met her before. She's also from Ireland by coincidence as well.
How funny.
She was amazing. So I had a really nice experience. My pregnancy was a little bit difficult in that I had a lot of morning sickness at the beginning, and I just had a lot of I guess the things that are normal in pregnancy but just make it uncomfortable. So I had a lot of back pain and hip pain and just general discomfort, reflux, everything like that. And by the end, I was so ready. I was just one of those women that you see that are heavily pregnant and just like, get this out of me. So by the end, I went 8 days overdue.
Oh, wow.
I was really ready. I was like in my antenatal appointments, like begging them, just being like, get it out, you know. So I remember one of the really distinctive things that I remember from the end of my pregnancy was going in for a visit, and I was well overdue by this point, and they asked if I wanted to do a stretch and sweep, and I'd read that a complication was that they can accidentally break the waters when that happens, and so I said to them, I said, please break my waters so that I can get it out. But once everything happened, I had like, it was a really completely complication free experience. I'd had a lot of people tell me about, like, a lot of my friends had had babies fairly recently, so I'd had a lot of kind of ideas from them about what to do and how to get through things and stuff. I decided I wanted to have an epidural, which I got quite towards the end. And up until that point, I'd been in the shower for just hours and hours and found that really, really great. I had my amazing midwife. Everything just went really, really well. And as soon as she came out, I was so happy. My husband was crying. He was, they dubbed him to be the trainee midwife as well, because he was so like into it.
Oh, how good. That's so amazing.
Yeah.
I love when men do that.
Was lovely.
That's great. So that went really well.
Lovely way to end the difficult pregnancy as well. So
yeah,
it was really great. I did have a long labor, but I know that that's really common with first babies.
How many hours?
So I was in the hospital from when I arrived to when she was born. It was 12 hours.
Yeah, normal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how was your postpartum or your time on the ward afterwards?
Yeah, look, I had a good experience there as well.
Yeah.
I remember all the nurses and all the midwives and everyone were all really supportive, which was great.
Yeah.
They helped me out with like breastfeeding and all that sort of stuff, which was really great. They yeah, and I had family members come in and visit and all that sort of stuff, which was really nice.
Yeah, nice. And the 6 weeks after when you were at home, did they go well? Like, do you remember them being okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
I had a really like everything was just went smoothly. So
yeah,
I was
awesome.
really
good.
But yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Obviously had it set up correctly as well. Like you kind of knew what to expect because you had lots of friends that were having babies.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it sounds like you've been around babies. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I had. Yeah. And I was quite nervous as well because, of course, you do hear the horror stories as well as the nice ones. So I'd read a lot of things leading up and, you know, listened to podcasts and you know, watched One Born Every Minute on repeat and all that sort of stuff. So I think, yeah, I was really nervous, but I think it actually kind of helped me because it meant that I really researched things well and knew a lot of, like a lot before going in. So
yeah, and I compare it to like a marathon. We wouldn't just run a marathon without training.
Yeah.
Like you just can't. You would like, you'd fall over and like, exhausted.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with birth, isn't it? Like we just have to prepare and educate ourselves so that we have some information on what to do if things don't go to plan.
Yeah,
that can happen too. And so did you use any like breathing techniques or hypnobirthing or anything like that?
Look, I didn't really. The main thing that I used up until my epidural point, I used the hot water and I used the gas, and I found those so great. Like I'd had a friend tell me about how wonderful the hot water was, and I almost didn't believe her until it happened to me. But I like stood in the shower and sat in the shower, brought a chair in with me, and I just had the hot water running over my back for hours and hours and hours, and it was was the main thing that really, really helped. And then when I did go into the hospital, they had it set up, and I think they still do this, so that there's a you can get the gas in the shower as well. So I had was really like the most helpful thing.
Yeah, awesome, that's so good. Yeah, I had a water birth for my second at home, and it, like the water is the place to be, isn't it? Like I just love
the
it.
The water is so good. Yeah.
And if you have like a bath where you can immerse your whole body in the bath, it's even better. Like than the
shower. Yeah. I wish I could have had that. Yeah,
I know, it's such a shame. Yeah, it's a shame that SHIP don't offer that more. Like I think we have one bath in the new maternity ward, but it's not very functional at the moment. So hopefully they get on board with that.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah. If anyone's listening, my dream is to build like a birth center. So I just need an investor. And I'm going to build a birth center. We can have water birth. Yeah. And I'm going to have private midwives come in. And they're all going to like do whatever women want. So that's my goal. But that's good. I'm excited to hear about your second birth. So what happened there?
So
was that the middle of the pandemic, by the way?
Yes, it was. So I was at the end of maybe everyone's blocked it from their memories, but we had in 2021 we had all these like snap 5-day lockdowns, and then they would end up lasting longer, and so we were right at the end of one of those when my son was born. His due date was during one of those like mini lockdowns, and I was really worried about what was going to happen there, but thankfully we still did have some visitor restrictions and things, but we kind of had a little bit more freedom than some of the other people who had their babies right in the middle of like 2020 with the big lockdowns. Yeah, we were a little bit luckier there. But I went into my second birth, so a little bit, I guess, underprepared for what was going to happen. So I think with my first, I was so nervous. So I'd done all this reading and I knew about all every possibility of everything that could happen. And then I, you know, I'd had this completely complication-free. Everything went exactly as it's supposed to. And with my second, I had complications with him. So I first went in and everything was all fine. I was a little bit overdue with him, but not as much as with my first. And yeah, everything was really good. They had told me already that he was measuring very big. So they told me he was 91st percentile. And often I've heard that get that really wrong, but in his case, that was exactly where he was. So when he came out, he was
there you go.
Bang on. So he was a 9-pound baby.
He was
big. So, I always feel like a 10-pound is a very, very big baby, but a 9-pound. So
it's like four kilos, right?
Yeah.
My second son was 4 kilos.
Yeah. So like on the bigger side, but not enormous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the kind of, so other than that, you know, I just expected everything to go fine. And so I went in, everything went really well at the beginning, but when my waters broke, the waters were full of meconium. So he passed meconium on the inside. And they said,
and for anyone who doesn't know what meconium is, can you just explain it?
So it's the first poo. Yeah. So usually the baby doesn't do it until after they're born.
Yeah.
And it's the black, yucky, sticky stuff that's in their first nappy usually. And some babies will pass it while they're still inside. And what they told me is that it can be an indication of distress. They said not every time, but when that happens, it just means that they want to keep an extra close eye in case the baby is in distress.
Okay. So they wanted to like put you on the bed and strap a monitor on you, right?
Yeah.
So how was that? How did that feel?
Look, it was okay. I was ready to get an epidural at that point anyway. I knew that second births go a lot quicker than first. I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, they've had these marathon first births and then they have their second baby in like 2 hours or something. So I mine didn't go like that, but I was prepared just in case that was going to happen to me. So I asked for the epidural quite early. So I was sort of preparing for that anyway. So it wasn't too, I guess, difficult for me. But it was a little bit different to how I had planned it. But I, of course, wanted to make sure that everything was okay with him.
Of course.
So they put the monitor on and everything went well for a while. They told me his position was not an ideal position. His back was like towards my hip. So I think they said usually they should be like directly down, but his was kind of to the side.
Transverse, I think they call that.
Yeah, so they said I don't think he was full transverse, just kind of
posterior, kind of
pushed to one side rather than in the middle.
Okay. I'm
probably not having it very well, but they said,
well, we're not medical people, we don't know.
yeah but they told me that it does it like I that you can still birth that way. It just can sometimes mean that it's a longer process. Which is probably not what I like, wasn't really what I wanted to hear, but I thought, yeah, that's fine. So they put me on the monitor after the waters were full of the meconium. And a short time after that, I can't remember the timeline very well, but sometime after that, they noticed that his heart rate was going down. And it was going down with every contraction. And they said it's normal for it to go down a little bit and then for it to recover in between. But his just kept going down and down and down. And so it was becoming a little bit like
scary.
Yeah, a little bit scary at that point. And by that point, I was already like very far along in the process. So I think I was sort of already like 8 centimeters, like almost to the end. by that point. And so they had me try a few things. I had like changed different positions, and like I was lying on my side and then lying on my other side and then rolling over and, you know, round and all, like trying all these different things to kind of see if they could get his heart rate back up and recovering after each contraction just by moving position. And it didn't happen. He was just getting like the heart rate was just getting lower and lower each time. To slow down and stop my contractions, which was, like very much outside of what I was expecting to happen, I guess.
Yeah.
And very slowly the heart rate started to come back up, and they thought, okay, well, we'll try again. So they gave me the Syntocin to try and start the contractions again, and unfortunately the same thing just happened again. So I had my lovely midwife. I had a graduate midwife, so she was amazing. And because she was a graduate, she had another, like, a mentor midwife. So I sort of had two, I guess. So she had one, her mentor, who was coming in regularly to check on how I was going and how she was going. And they brought in a doctor as well to check at this point because there had been those complications with the heart rate. And when his heart rate, like, it became quite dangerously low, like both times, until they gave me the medication to stop the contractions, and they basically told me, they checked to see, because I was so close to the end at this point, I was around 9 centimeters dilated at this point, but they had to call, and they said, look, we'll get you checked by the attending obstetrician, but we're probably gonna have to do a cesarean because we can't risk him continuing with this dangerously low heart rate that was dropping with every single contraction. And of course, when you get to that point, the contractions are really intense as well, so they were really concerned about what was going to happen. So we ended up with an emergency cesarean with him, which was a little bit of a shock to me because I'd had this completely, you know, easy, wonderful, complication-free experience the first time around, and then the second time to have this emergency cesarean completely unexpectedly, when only a couple of hours earlier I was, you know, at home and coming into the hospital with, you know, my contractions, thinking that the baby's going to come really soon. I'm just going to have a really similar experience to what I had the first time. So it was quite different.
Yeah, it would have been, definitely.
Yeah. But I am thankful, like, all the midwives and the doctors that I saw were all really, really awesome. And my own midwife stayed and did a double shift so she could stay with me the whole time. And, like, after he was born, because it had those complications, they did kind of keep a closer eye on him. So she was there taking care of him for me while, like, to make sure they did all the checks and everything to check that he was okay after he was born. And so my midwife was there doing all that with me, which was great.
Oh, so did you have her your whole pregnancy?
No, so I was just with the just seeing the antenatal clinic. So so I just got whoever was on shift at the time. But they were awesome, like, both births, midwives that I got were amazing.
How good is that?
Yeah.
And so how did you feel after the cesarean? Like, how was the recovery?
The recovery was really, really different. So I'd had, like, with my first birth, I was up. So I did have to have stitches with my first birth, but they put those in and I was up having a shower, like, straight away.
Yeah.
And I was able to stand up and walk around and do things for myself right away, and I was up wanting to go for a walk, like, as soon as,
even after the epidural.
So as soon as that wore off, I was up.
You were up and around.
Whereas with my son, with the cesarean, it was a really different experience. They kept the spinal catheter in for quite a while afterwards so that they could give some morphine and things through that. So I really wasn't able to move for quite a few hours. And so I had another wonderful midwife who was taking care of me for the whole day, who did absolutely everything for me because I, like, because you're not able to get up and do anything after a cesarean. So she was changing the baby's nappies, you know, changing his clothes when they need to be, bringing him to me, like picking him up for me and putting him down, and all of those things, because you can't do any of those things for yourself. Mm-hmm. And overnight especially, because like during the day I could have my husband with me, but overnight they were having to do absolutely everything for me and help me. So when they did remove the spinal, like you still have to have someone help you to the bathroom and things like that, because it's difficult to, like, it's difficult to stand up and sit up in those first couple of days.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of doing everything, and it's difficult to do things yourself as well, because you're on quite heavy painkillers for those first couple of days afterwards as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of an additional thing, and all I wanted to do was sleep. But of course, with a newborn baby, and my son didn't want to be put down, like, ever. And yeah, he kind of stayed like that for a long time. But I had, like, the midwives come in during the middle of the night, and they would, like, hold him for me for those first couple of nights so that I could have a sleep, because it was so difficult to sleep. I couldn't put him down and things. And I just so desperately needed that sleep because I was recovering from
major surgery.
Yeah. Also missing out on the night of sleep while I was in labor.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so exhausting, isn't it? Like, people try and describe it and you just can't. Like, you can't even describe how exhausting you are. Exhausted.
Yeah.
It's so just another level.
Experience was just so different.
Okay. And what did you breastfeed for with your son? Did you find it different, like, trying to latch him after the cesarean compared to the vaginal?
I'd sort of forgotten, because I did breastfeed both children for quite a while, but I'd sort of forgotten how to position a newborn and stuff, so I had to kind of get them to help me. And I used a pillow, which was really great, because then I didn't have to have any kind of weight on my scar. Stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like even well above the scar, if there was any weight on my kind of abdomen area, it felt like it pushed on that incision.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I can understand. I think if you have a cesarean as your first birth, I feel like that would be a bit of a challenge, learning to breastfeed and position the baby and things. But I was lucky in that I'd already breastfed my first baby for 18 months.
Yeah.
So
you were a seasoned breastfeeder, really.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's great that you were able to have the support to do it, I suppose. Like, it sounds like you had quite good support, and it's obvious you're a resilient woman as well. Like, it looked like maybe you bounced back quite quickly. That's really impressive.
Oh, thank you.
So well done. It sounds like you really just martyred on. I love it. So is there anything else about your postpartum that you can think of with your son that sticks out to you or anything?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of main things that kind of stick out to me. And the first one is with when you have a cesarean, you need so much more support, because you actually can't do things yourself. Like, I think with my first, it was just like you said, you know, you're kind of a martyr and you're like, I can do this.
Yeah.
But with my second one, like, you actually can't do it, because there are so many things that you can't do. Like, you're not allowed to lift anything heavier than your baby.
Yeah.
So there are just a lot of things that you have to have someone come and help you with.
And you can't drive, can you, for 6 weeks? You can't drive?
Can
you hear me?
So no driving for 6 weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Driving. Yeah. And, like, even the smallest thing, like changing bed sheets or, you know, like those things that we take for granted every day, like hanging up the washing.
The washing was probably the hardest, because I had like my first daughter was just over 2 years old, and so there's all this washing, but I couldn't really do any of it. And even it got better with time, but the first couple of weeks, like bending over to put things in the washing machine was even difficult. Yes. And there was definitely no picking up of like heavy washing baskets full of wet clothes or anything like that. Yeah. No vacuuming, because that twisting motion, lots of things that were really
So did really your husband do it all, or did you have other people?
So I was lucky. I had my husband took some time off work, which was really great. My parents came over regularly, and my in-laws, they were all able to help. And the hospital also provided a cleaner to come out for 6 weeks.
Oh, great.
I'm not sure if they offer that.
I think they do.
I think there is, yeah. But so I had that. That was really great as well and really helpful. So they came out once a week. So all like the big jobs could be done by them. And then everything else just, my husband was there and had to have other family come and do things for me.
Yeah.
And the other thing that really stood out, I think, that is important, it's just like you said about being a martyr. I think sometimes I read a lot of things that people write online about cesareans being really painful and people not wanting to take their medications and things, but I think it's really important that you do and that you keep track of those things and follow the advice that they give, because it is really hard. And if you're not taking those medications and things, like, you're not going to be able to sleep because it's going to be painful. You're not going to be able to take care of yourself and your baby in the way that you need to. And I think nobody wants morphine and things to go into their breast milk into their baby, but like, you're also important as well. Like, it's important for the mother to be able to care for their baby. There's no point in you not having medication, because you want to avoid that. There's no point in doing that if you're then not able to take care of your baby because you can't go to sleep, because you can't move around, because you can't pick them up. Like, you have to take care of yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you can just see how some of that would, you know, cascade into like postnatal depression. And you know, it's a lot, like being a new mother or being a second time mother, it's a lot anyway. So if you have that extra pressure or the pain or you can't sleep, like it's too much.
Yeah.
And then you have a toddler running around too.
That was certainly a lot. She was more of a challenge than the baby. Everyone says that.
And how did she adapt though to having a little brother? Was she happy about it or eventually?
Yeah, she was so happy to begin with. She did, there were some adjustments that had to be made for her. She did, after the first few weeks, I think she did kind of realize that, there was someone new here and that she didn't have mommy and daddy's attention all to herself all the time.
They're not going back. I feel like they think that the baby's going to go away.
Yeah.
And then they realize the baby's staying.
Yeah. Yeah. The baby's staying forever. So that was a little bit challenging. But yeah, she's been really great. And now they just get along so well. And they do have their fights and stuff. You know, knocking each other's block towers over and both fighting over the same toy and stuff, but they do play together so beautifully now.
Great. So what are your thoughts on maiden to matrescence, like from that, you know, how we change emotionally, spiritually, physically, our actual brains like change the minute we are pregnant? I don't know if you knew that, but it's amazing. Like, even if we don't carry that child or that pregnancy doesn't go forth, or that changes our whole brain, like chemistry, there's like a part of our stem that expands, makes us more present. It's amazing. Like, physically, we we change.
Yeah.
So what is what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what I kind of experienced, I guess, especially after my first baby, it was kind of a change in priorities, I think. Like, I had been this kind of workaholic type person and, you know, really wanting to work really hard and do well and, you know, very career oriented and stuff. And I think what happened is the priorities kind of changed, and I realized, well, you know, yeah, it is important to have like a career and things for me, but it's also really important to prioritize family, because those things are really important as well. And yeah. So I guess I changed. I had this idea that I was going to be, you know, take my maternity leave, and then I was going to go back and work full time again and all that kind of stuff. And then it just, I think the priorities change. I think you realize how important your role is and how important your family is, and that you do need to be there for your family, and that it's not worth working long hours or being stressed and things because you want to be there with your family.
Yeah. And it just, the goalposts change, don't they? Like, we kind of think we're going to go back to our old self, and we don't.
Yeah.
It's a very different experience to what I expected as well.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. Like, I have compassion around that, because, yeah, the career just goes out the window, doesn't it? Like, what career?
Yeah. And I think as well, I just expected that I was going to be doing all these things again. I was going to be like, oh, I'll leave the baby with a babysitter. And I'd actually booked, when I was pregnant, I'd booked tickets to go and see Bon Jovi when my first baby, when she was about like 2 months old or something. And I was gonna be, and then when the day came, like, I was excited to go to the concert in Melbourne, and I spent 12 hours away. But, oh, my goodness, like, leaving this tiny baby for the first time, oh, my God, like, I cannot even describe that emotion. Like,
yeah,
that was just so, like, it was, you know, it was great for me to go away and do this, you know, have fun and whatever. But leaving her was just, like, it felt like my heart was going to be ripped out of my chest.
Yeah, it's so hard to leave them. Yeah. Like, and I find that even now. Like, I'll go, I want to get away, and then I'll go and I'm like, oh, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should, like, ring the person who has them.
Yeah.
it's funny, isn't it? All you want to do is get away, and then you get away and you want to get back.
Yeah.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I felt. Yeah.
Kids, eh? You love them. So I wonder what your thoughts are on the gaps in maternity in SHEP. Like, you know, what do you think we could do better?
I think the main thing is, like, postpartum care. I think especially if there's been complications.
Yeah.
Like, it feels almost like you get this 6-week checkup, but there's not really much else. I went to see a women's health physio myself after
Fiona.
Fiona, she was so good. So I went to see her after my cesarean, because I spoke to my midwives and my doctor about recovery and stuff, but they couldn't kind of give, like, I guess I wanted to start doing I wanted to know what exercises I should be doing and how to kind of really take care of my core and things, because like, you know, cutting through all those layers is a big deal. So I just think I would like to see that type of thing offered to everyone. And Fiona's amazing, but, you know, she's a private person that you go to separately. I think that really should be part of the, like, both hospital care that we get. And I think, I just felt like the postpartum care, there just wasn't enough, I guess. And there's the maternal and child health nurses, who I know are also midwives, so there's them there, but it always feels like those visits are really focused on the baby.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think the other thing as well with the breastfeeding, we've got the breastfeeding clinic at the hospital, but I think a lot of people don't know about it. And it seems like, I would love to see that kind of integrated into like the maternity care in the hospital so that more people know about it and more people are able to use those services too, because I use them. And I actually used them both times, because the second time, even though I'd breastfed a lot before, I with the cesarean, the positions and things that I had to use were a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I think bringing all of that in a little bit more so that everyone has access to those things,
That's great. That's a really good suggestion. Like, it's definitely, it's quite like, it feels like there's all this build up and then you're just left to your own devices. You're like, just check in with your GP at 6 weeks. And then you're like, what? Like, who looks after the mother? Like, and really, like, back in the day, you have women looked after by other women in their family, but we don't often have that now, you know?
Yeah.
All our mothers are usually working full time or. You know, we don't have that extended family stuff as much.
And I thought of that in particular with my second baby, because I did have my parents and my in-laws around. And I did think of those people that don't have anyone. And I think, like, what do they do? Because maybe some people could hire someone, but maybe not everyone's in a financial position to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So it's such a challenge. And especially if you don't have a partner, or if your partner's not able to take a lot of time off work or anything like that, it's really like, I really feel for those people, because I think how do you get through those days, you know?
How do you
don't have someone there to do all those things for you.
And like, it really is just like, if you don't have a village, you have to find one. You have to create one, you know?
Because you
need other people to help you. Like, you cannot do it all on your own. We're not human beings to be individualized. That's just not how we operate. Like, I know our society and the patriarchy and things have made us feel like we should be, but we can't.
you know,
like, it's so like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's great. How can people find you, Rachel? Like, how can we connect with you?
So, I am on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok at Baby and Mama Gifts. And I also have my website, which is www.babyandmamagifts.com.au.
Awesome. That's so good. All right. Well, I'll put links in the bio of the podcast as well. And thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. It was a brilliant chat. Okay.
Thank you.
See you. Wow, what an episode. How good was it speaking to someone local and fellow entrepreneur? Thank you to Rachel for coming on today and giving us lots of insight into her birth, her business, and our local shepherding area. So thank you for that, Rachel. Make sure you like and subscribe, and I will see you next time.